Today, we're kicking off a brand new sermon series called Hidden Gems. And it's a series all about looking for the hidden gems within the book of Proverbs. And it's a series that will last us through the rest of the summer. And I'm so excited for this teaching series because the book of Proverbs is a gold mine of wisdom for everyday life. Whether we're needing help in the area of relationships, finances, or just wanting to grow spiritually, I truly believe that throughout this series, if we're willing to dig, we'll uncover the truths that will guide us, challenge us, and change us forever. So I'm excited for today. I hope you are as well. If you're taking notes, and I think this is a great way to kick off the series, I want to talk to you around this idea of the life of a learner. The life of a learner. I think it's important that we be people who say, you know what? There's still more to learn. I can still get wisdom. I can still be teachable. In fact, I think it's so important that 26 of the 31 chapters within the book of Proverbs, it actually talks about this. And so I think it's important for us to look and see what it is that we need to get as far as getting wisdom and being a learner and being teachable. If it talks this much about it in the book of Proverbs, it's probably something that should get our attention. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, he gives us a parable, and this is what he says. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. You see, true wisdom knows what's worth giving up everything to go after. Knows when it's worth giving up everything to go after for what's best. Henry Ford once said this, the only real mistake is the one from which we learn nothing. I don't know about you, but too often in my life, I've found myself either thinking or actually saying out loud, I don't need to learn that. I don't need to listen to this advice. This doesn't apply to me. This isn't for me. This is for someone else. Or I don't need to learn from this. I can remember when I was in high school, my freshman basketball coach, we were in practice in layup lines. And I don't know what it was that spurred me to say this to Coach Childress, but for whatever reason, I actually uttered these words. I said, you know, Coach, I really don't care what people think about me. Maybe you've heard this before. Maybe when you were younger, you said this. Maybe you have a teenager. You're like, I hear this all the time. I'm not really sure, but there was something that caused me to say this. And I remember my coach kind of stepping back a little bit. And I was almost like in shock with his shock. Like I was surprised by how surprised he was with how he responded to me saying that to him. And you might say, how are you surprised? I was foolish. And so Coach Childress, I'll never forget, he steps back and he looks at me and he says, so Chris, what you're really telling me is you don't care about your reputation and you don't care about how others perceive you. And I remember thinking like, well, I didn't use those words, you know? And I remember kind of thinking like, I said what I said, Coach, you know, but I didn't say that. I said back to him the same thing that I'd said to him the first time. I said, I just really don't care what people think about me. And he said, you know what, Chris, if I were you, I would change your mindset real fast because your reputation and how people perceive you to be will make or break things for your future. I can tell you today, Coach Childress was right. As I went from friend group, frustrating people, thinking that who cares? I don't care what you think about me. Coach Childress was absolutely right. I remember my first job, I worked at a golf course. My boss's name was Trevor. And I remember he was about to hand me my first paycheck and he just kind of stops and pauses in midair. And I'm about to grab the paycheck and I'm thinking, what are you doing? And he says, Chris, I know this is your first job, so of course this is your first paycheck. And the advice I'm about to give you, I'm not saying you have to do it today, but I would strongly encourage you to implement it as soon as possible now that you're getting paid. And he said, I would strongly advise you to create a budget and do your best to stick to it. Now, I didn't say this to Trevor, but I remember thinking, you're crazy. Hand me that check. I'm about to go cash it and spend it right now. Like as soon as I get, I'm going to the mall, getting a pair of Jordans, whatever. I'm going to spend all of this right now. I'm here to tell you, years later, and finding myself in life, in debt, he was absolutely right. Like financially speaking, I very quickly learned how to make a budget and do my best sticking to it. Last story. I remember after my wife and I had our first child, there were older parents, or parents with older children, I should say, that would come to visit us, and they were so helpful, so nice. But I'm convinced that when parents with older children come to visit newer parents, they have this statement that they like to end on. They like to say, and it's wise words, but it's like, it almost feels planned, like it's scripted. Like they all verify, like, hey, I'll be there at 3:30. My ending line is this. You're gonna show up 15 minutes later. Remember, you say this to them. What is it? Repeat it back. Got it. Good. Great. 15 minutes after you leave, the other couple's gonna show up and they're gonna say it to them as well. It's like passed down from generation to generation. The age-old line is this. When it's parents with older children speaking to newer parents, they say something along the lines of, get ready, buckle up. They grow up so fast. They grow up so fast. And I can remember when they left our house, I actually closed the door and I turned around and I said to my wife, why are these parents so dramatic? Like, why are they saying things like this? Because right now, I feel like I'm stuck in eternity of never sleeping and changing diapers. Like, at what point does life begin to speed up and they grow up so fast? Well, I'm here to tell you, there's wisdom when these parents say this. Because my wife and I, we have a teenager now, and it felt like it was just yesterday when I had no sleep and all I was doing was changing diapers. It does go by fast. Maybe you've had a similar experience with one of these stories, or maybe you've been in a similar boat, just plainly speaking, where you have felt like, this isn't for me. I don't need to listen to this. I don't need to learn that. I don't need to apply this to my life. This won't happen to me. This is not for me. This is for someone else. It's not me. Maybe you've actually said or you've thought things like, I don't need to take care of my health. I'll be just fine. This is for the guys, okay? Sorry. Like some of you might have already gotten an elbow from your wife, you know? Like, I don't need to call the doctor. We don't need to go make the visit. I'm gonna be just fine. This is me every time. Yet somehow I find myself with the man flu, but also I don't need help. You know, like I don't need it. I don't need to talk to you. I don't need to call. I'm gonna be just fine. Maybe you've thought or said something along the lines of, I don't need to learn people skills. I just need to be good at my job. I don't need to learn how to be good with people. I just have to be good at what it is that I do. Maybe you've thought or said, I don't need advice. I know exactly what I'm doing in this relationship. I know exactly what I'm doing in parenting this child. I don't need the advice. I don't need help. I can handle it myself. I can do this all on my own. The reality is this, growth doesn't happen by accident. Yet if we're honest, we often resist what actually takes to grow. What it actually takes to grow. How? We get defensive. We combat, we fight against when someone is wanting to actually help us grow. We rely on ourselves. We think, you know what, I can do this myself. We treat it like it's a to-do list and the satisfaction of saying, let me cross it off. Even though we've already completed it. Come on, anybody like that? I'm this way, where it's like it's already been done, but yet I'm still gonna add it to the to-do list just so I can cross it out. We tend to think, you know what? I wanna be able to say, I did this on my own. I figured this out. I'm the one that was able to solve this problem. We tune out correction. Say, I don't wanna hear that. And so I'll do whatever I can to tune it out by avoiding certain people, not going to certain things, whatever it might be, we tune out correction. But my question is this, what if the gems we're searching for are buried in the very places that we avoid? What if the things, the truths that are for us are actually buried in the places we avoid? Places like hard conversations. Come on, those difficult conversations to have with someone. Failures and mistakes. Corrections and accountability. What if it's buried in these types of places? The Bible is clear. Wisdom is available, but it's not automatic. It's available, but it doesn't just happen. You don't just stumble upon it. What do? You intentionally get it. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, it says just this. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, what? Get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. So if wisdom doesn't just happen, you have to go get it, and there's a price to be paid. What is that price? What will it cost us? because it says you have to get it. And it doesn't just happen. You're intentional about it. But there's a price to be paid. It costs us something. So what does it cost us? Sometimes wisdom will cost you laying down your pride. It'll cost you laying down your pride. How? Because you admit you don't know everything. Come on, this is tough. Like, there's times where I would love to act as if I know a lot of things, maybe everything. But getting wisdom, it says, you know what? It's going to cost me my pride. And it's going to be involving humility. Sometimes it costs you time. It costs you time. How? Because you slow down long enough to listen, learn, and reflect. I don't know about you, but I'm someone who loves the speed of things. Like, I want it to be fast. If I'm going to learn it, if I have to take an exam on it and there's videos I have to watch, you better believe I'm skipping through every bit of that video that I possibly can. If I have to listen to a podcast that someone recommends to me, they're like, hey, this is for you. You know, like, you need to learn this. I'm like, okay, let's put that thing on double speed, if not faster. Like, I just want to learn it. If I have to learn it, I want to learn it fast. But sometimes it costs you time because you have to slow down long enough, get it, not only just to listen, but to really understand what you're listening to really learn it and reflect on how this applies to you. Sometimes it costs you relationships. It costs you relationships because you refuse to walk with people who are headed in the wrong direction. I know this one can sound a little bit cruel. I'm not trying to say that you should just hurt friendships and relationships, but sometimes it might be making a conscious decision. You know what? Maybe I need to guard and protect the time that I'm around these people that are taking me down a place that is a wrong direction. You see, when the Bible talks about wisdom, there's two types of people described in the book of Proverbs. And we're gonna have a little bit of fun with this. There's a babbling fool and there's a listener. Now, I think the babbling fool verse is probably one of the most offensive verses that you can read in the Bible. I mean, there's some things that can come across offensive, but the babbling fool, it's a tough one to read, because the reality is, am I this person? Like, am I a babbling fool? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8. This is what it says. The wise are glad to be instructed, but babbling fools fall flat on their faces. Now, I'll just, you know, ease the room just a little bit. Here at Central Campus, our North Campus, and our Maui Campus, this is none of us. Like, we're not a babbling fool. This applies to someone that we know, probably a distant relative, a friend, you know, a coworker, but this is not us. This is for us to know about and be able to recognize maybe in someone else's life. Maybe it's just for me. I don't know, but I'll tell you what a babbling fool is. There's different types of babbling fools, and the first one is this. A babbling fool is a know-it-all. Maybe you've come across someone that's like this. They're a know-it-all. Now, I have to confess to you, I love being around a know-it-all. Now, I don't know, like, it's probably terrible, but there's something about a know-it-all that I just kind of respect. I'm like, man, like, you just know enough about everything to come across like you know everything. You know, like, wow, that's amazing. Like they can go from, like, ancient Roman plumbing systems to fly fishing to making their own sourdough bread to, like, space aviation. I'm like, dude, how? It's like your mom and dad disciplines you by making you go read an encyclopedia when you're in trouble. You know, it's just like, dude, how do you do that? You know, and I'm guilty because it's like I'm around them and I'm just like, let's keep going. What about this? You know, and then it's like after 2 hours, I'm like, okay, I got to go to dinner. This is crazy. There's only so much that you can spend around a know-it-all person because it's like there's no way you know everything about everything. You might be very knowledgeable. And genuinely, I know some people that are so smart, and they know a lot of things about a lot of things. But there's no one that we know that knows everything. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26, it says, those who trust their own insight are foolish, but anyone who walks in wisdom is safe. Sometimes we tend to think that safety is like a negative thing, especially when it comes to our faith. But can I tell you, there's wisdom and walking with the wise. It keeps you safe. The opposite is something that's dangerous. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a babbling fool, and I want to be someone who walks with the wise and be kept safe from the dangers of things that's going on in life. I want to be around others that are smarter than me, know more than me, and not always be the know-it-all. The second type of babbling fool is the been there, done that. The been there, done that. And these are, like, tough people, you know, to be around. These next two babbling fools are pretty similar, but the, you know, been there, done that, they'll humble you real quick. I'll never forget after I ran a 5K race, I was around a group of friends, and I was so proud, honestly. I was just like so happy to share, like, guys, I did it. I ran a 5K. One of the guys in this group, he was like, man, I remember running my first 5K. I ended up just running a half marathon because I got off course of where the 5K race was. And next thing I know, I'm looking down at my watch and I'm about 13 miles in and I just finished a half marathon. You know, I'm just like, you know, it's just like, it doesn't matter what you say. It's like, been there, done that, experienced it. You know, they've done it all. It's like, man, I went and jumped out of a plane and it was awesome. I went skydiving. They're like, man, I've done that five times. The fourth and fifth time, I decided to take a nap on the way down. You know, it's just like, it's easy. You know, been there, done that, it's whatever. These are the people, they'll humble you real quick. They'll just shut down the cool story you have and it's just like, walk away, bud. Like, I'm here. The been there, done that. Proverbs 18:2, it says, fools have no interest in understanding or listening. They only want to air their own opinions. They only want to air what it is that they've accomplished, how it is that they're better. And speaking of doing just that, talking about how they're better, the third type of babbling fool is a one-upper. You've probably never come across the one-upper before. The one-upper, this one, like I said, very similar. The been there, done that, and the one-upper. It's like, dude, hey, I climbed Mount Everest. The one-upper is like, did it without oxygen and in my flip-flops. You know, it's like, doesn't matter what you say, they will one-up you. They will let you know, hey, I've done it better. Whatever it is that you, and what's so fascinating about the babbling fool and some of these types of characteristics is like, how do you know me so well? Like it almost, it seems as if you knew I would come to this conversation wanting to celebrate something I've accomplished and you're just ready with it. You know, it's just like, done that, been there, that's awesome, but I did it cooler, did it better. You're just like, whoa, how do you do this? And that's the side of me that's like, man, that's, I don't know what it is. I'll say respectable, but wow. Like that's a babbling fool. Proverbs 12:15, it says, fools think their own way is right, but wise listen to others. The wise listen to others. So that's a babbling fool, but what about the listener? The listener, Proverbs 1:5, it says, let the wise, here it is, listen. Listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. And this is in chapter 1 of Proverbs, opening up the rest of the book, where there are so many other chapters, 25 to be exact, that talk about getting wisdom, living your life as a learner, and being teachable. And so if that's a babbling fool, I don't want to be that. The reality is sometimes I am. But I want to strive to be a listener. I want to be someone who says, you know what? I'm humble enough to say, I don't know it all. I don't have to one-up this person. I don't have to been there, done that with my attitude. I can listen. I can appreciate where someone has been, the experience that they've gained, what it is that they have knowledge in and wisdom in that can be applied to my life. You see, number one, a listener has a teachable posture. A listener has a teachable posture. Now, I'll tell you some ways in which you can see that someone does not have a teachable posture. Because just like you can tell when someone has bad physical posture, maybe their shoulders are slouched, their back is slumped over, their head is forward. And I hear these things a lot from my wife, sit up straight, you know, like my posture's bad. I hear this from people all the time. You can recognize when someone has bad physical posture. You can also recognize when someone has a bad teaching posture. And some of the ways that you can see this is they dismiss feedback quickly. Someone with a bad teaching posture dismisses feedback quickly. They'll say things like, hold on, let me give you the full context. Let me know what actually was happening. And it's really a defense mechanism to say, this isn't for me. Don't give me that feedback. They're quick to say, no, I don't want to hear this. Why? Because it's difficult. And it is. Another bad posture for teaching posture, is they resist new ideas. They resist new ideas. Why? Because it's easy and comfortable to stay with what you know. And so you resist something new. Why? Because it would make you uncomfortable and that would be difficult to implement something new. And another way that you can tell if someone with bad teaching posture is they repeat the same mistakes like over and over again. Why? Because they don't want to be taught. And eventually what happens is people recognize you don't want to listen. you don't want to learn. Come on, similar to a Chris when I was talking earlier saying, this isn't for me. I don't need to listen to this. I don't need to apply this to my life. People will begin to catch on to this and say, well, then I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help because it seems like your teaching posture is stay away. I don't want to listen. I don't want to learn. I don't need to learn from this lesson, and I don't want to apply this to my life. So what happens is someone with a bad teaching posture is they go through life having the same issues over and over again. And so what do? It's the opposite of this to have a good teaching posture, which is, hey, receive feedback. Even if it's quickly, receive it. If you have questions, ask those questions to get clarity on the feedback you're receiving. That's fine. But also, don't be resistant to new ideas. Actually, welcome new ideas. Let someone say, thank you so much for sharing that with me. I appreciate you pointing that out. But also, be someone who says, I'm not going to repeat the same mistakes. Why? Because I need to learn. I need to recognize that was a mistake. Remember, I said it earlier. What if the gems that we're searching for are buried in the very places we avoid? And so instead of saying that's too difficult to hear, what if we said, I need to hear this, I want to learn from it, and I want to grow from it? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2, it says, pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. The second thing a listener does is this: they pursue growth through others. They pursue growth through others because they know it's not just only themselves that can make a difference, which sometimes on your own, you can solve problems, you can grow. But also they understand and recognize and honestly are encouraged by the fact that there are people that have more experience than they do. And I'm gonna go a step further and say this. Sometimes it might even be people that are younger than yourself. Why? Because of the fact that they've experienced that you just quite simply have not experienced before. And it's one of the greatest things that I've seen in my life, where if I'm around someone young or whatever it might be, and you might be looking at me like, you're young, and I get that. I am, but I'm not trying to act like I'm some old wise person or whatever. But here's what I've learned is that there are some people that are just simply practically younger than me. They've gone through things I have not gone through. And if I found myself in life going through that, and I recognize I've seen them go through this, and I know that I can learn from them, guess what? A decision is I'm going to humble myself, and I have to learn. I'm going to ask them questions because I know that I can learn something from someone else. And like I said earlier, oftentimes we want the satisfaction. It's almost like this control freak mentality, and I'll be the first to say it, where it's a, you know, crossing out the to-do list. Even though you accomplished it, it just feels good to add it so you say, I accomplished it. And sometimes in life, when there's more heavy things on the line, there's things that weigh a little bit more, that are more serious, this isn't the time to just say, hey, I'm going to solve this so I can say I solved it. There are some things, let's be real, that are too heavy for us to carry on our own. So God provides other godly people for us that have the experience, that have the wisdom because they've gone through the experience of something that we're going through that we need to listen to and we need to learn from. The third thing a listener does is they embrace correction. They embrace correction. And this is tough to think about embracing correction, to think about welcoming it, like, hey, I embrace it. Like, I'm gonna get correction, I'm just gonna give it a hug. Like, I don't know if anyone that just like wakes up and they're just like, man, I can't wait to get corrected today. Like, wow, like the thought, oh my gosh, you know, it's 6 a.m. and I'm hoping by 6:38, I'm messing something up for someone to correct me. Like, you know, I don't know of anyone that's like this. It's just like, I'm gonna go about my day because I embrace correction and I hope to just absolutely demolish something in the worst way possible just so I can get corrected. Like, no one is just like looking forward to correction. It's something that oftentimes we're wanting to avoid. We want nothing to do with. We want to come across like we have it all together, but there are times where we will fail. We will mess something up. And when correction comes our way, we have to embrace the correction. I talked about maybe a Bible verse that was offensive talking about babbling fools. This one kind of hurts too in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. It says, to learn, you must love discipline. Like, I have to love it? I mean, can I just kind of like it? You know, I just, hey, you can like discipline. You can enjoy it. It's just, it's good for you. No, it says you have to love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. It's stupid to hate correction. Some of you are like, no, that's exactly how I feel. I don't want to embrace correction. I want to hate it, but the Bible tells me it's stupid to hate correction. We all need correction in our life. And here's what I would say between the contrast of these two types of people, the listener and the babbling fool. It's good to do a little bit of self-reflection between the two. And I'll just go a step further and just practically speaking, I would encourage you with this. Anytime you're in an environment like this, whether it's in a large setting, maybe it's a small group, alpha group, whatever it might be, or you're just doing a Bible study with friends, coworkers, family members, like I said, whatever it might be, I think a good practice we could all get into is just to say, let me reflect on this for myself. What's the purpose of us going through these scriptures? To break down this verse. What is it that God is wanting to say to me? What is it that God is wanting to do in my life? Because if we're honest, and we hear this a lot sometimes if you've attended church where it's like, this is for my neighbor, this is for my friend, this is for that family member. But I think it's good and it's challenging. It's not easy to say, am I one of these? And the questions are, am I a babbling fool or am I a listener? For some of you, you might feel like it is one or the other. For some of you, it might be like this second question, knowing that it's not always one or the other, but in different seasons, it's a combination. In what seasons do I find myself being more of one than the other, and why? And I think it's important that we ask that second part of the question of why. And I think that's important because if you find yourself in different seasons being a babbling fool, maybe the reason you need to ask the question of why is because of who you're around. And there's something in you that says, I've got to prove something to someone. I have to just be able to one-up them. I have to let them know all the knowledge that I have. Come on, I mean this, and I'm not trying to be funny with this. I know that there's different situations, circumstances, and relationships in your lives where you feel like, I've got to prove something to my brother. I've got to prove something to my father. I've got to prove something to a friend. I have to be this way. Yet you find yourself overreacting and coming across like a babbling fool. And to ask the question why, there could be something buried deep in your own life that's causing you to act out in this way, whether it be insecurity or just feeling you have to prove something. Why is it in different seasons you find yourself like this? And this for me has been so difficult. And to find out the answer to that question is something that's like you can wrestle with it for a long time. And I'll just give you some encouragement. You will not solve that overnight. So to think and walk away, hey, I asked the question why, I identified it, there will be times where it's difficult. And I hope I can say that with encouragement to you. Don't beat yourself up, because Proverbs also talks about that you get back up when you stumble. When you fall, you get back up. It says, though a righteous person fall, they get back up again. Can I tell you, there's gonna be times where you feel like, hey, I know what it is. I've identified what it is that's going on in my life. Get back up. I mean, seriously, it's okay. You're gonna find yourself stumbling. You're gonna find yourself being a little bit of a babbling fool. Get back up. Keep searching, keep digging, keep going after wisdom, keep going after experience, whether older in age or younger in age. Keep asking the questions and embracing the correction. A learner is intentional in being teachable. So if we talked about the babbling fool and the listener, well, there's something a little bit more than just listening only. Listening is great, but a learner does something. A learner is intentional in being teachable. Proverbs chapter 13, verses 13 and 14, it says this. People who despise advice are asking for trouble. Those who respect a command will succeed. The instruction of the wise is like a life-giving fountain. Those who accept it avoid the snares of death. So let me talk just a little bit about the learner. The learner. So you have a listener, which is great, something that I would much rather be compared to a babbling fool, but also I want to be someone who learns, who doesn't just hear something and say, that's great, now I have knowledge, but I want to be a learner, someone who applies it. I've learned, I'm learning, it's active, it's moving. I want to learn. A learner does, number one, initiates. A learner initiates. A learner is someone who says, I'm going to begin this conversation. And we initiate by first and foremost going to God. The Bible tells us this in James chapter 1, verse 5. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. If you need wisdom, start by asking God for wisdom. But let me get just a little bit more practical. You start by asking God. But practical initiation looks like asking God and telling someone what you're going through that has more experience than you do with what you're going through. I'm going to say that again. I know it's a lot. I'd say start by asking God for wisdom. But I'm going to say here on earth, when you're around others, be intentional enough to know who it is that you want to talk to. And you just start by saying, get this, start by saying what it is you're going through. So it's that practical. Hey, I want to have a conversation. I want to initiate. I want to talk to you. And you let them know what it is that you're going through. And you recognize the person you're talking to has gone through something that you're going through. And I don't miss this, truly, because it's recognizing and it's initiating enough to think about, I need help, but I'm not just going to go tell anyone I need help. I'm not just going to initiate in conversation with anyone about something that I'm finding challenging in life. No. I'm going to be wise in how I initiate. I'm going to recognize that person. I know that they've gone through this before. Maybe I can even just guess that they have. I'm going to initiate the conversation to say, here's what I'm going through. Let me know how it is that you've grown and you've gained wisdom and insight in getting through this. I can remember when I first got married and I was a new husband. There were older husbands in the church. I'd say, let me take you out to lunch. Let me get breakfast, take you out to coffee, whatever. It's on me. I just want to learn from you on what a godly marriage looks like, what it looks like to be a godly husband. And tell me, I mean, I'd ask them practical questions. When we became parents, I'd find parents, yes, those same parents of older children that told us it goes by so fast. I would talk with those parents and say, teach us, show us, let us know what it looks like to be godly parents and to raise up godly children. And what I would also come back to encourage you with is this, you won't always just get it overnight. In fact, there are so many times, if you see this as a one-time initiation, you asking the question over a food setting or over coffee, no, you're missing it. The initiation, it happens again and again and again. Practically speaking, there are times where I'm like, okay, we got to meet again. I got something else going on. This is what came up. This is difficult. You know what I didn't do? I didn't just beat myself up and say, you're a bad husband. You're a bad dad. I just want to encourage you. If that's you, you feel like you're in here, whatever it might be in life, you feel like, I need to grow, I need to get better in this area, don't beat yourself up. Get back up again. I'm telling you, God sees you. And God wants you to get back up. And family members, friends, this place, the people around you, we want to see you get back up again. Don't stay down. Come on, there's so many times I was knocked down. I felt defeated. I felt discouraged. I felt like there's no way I can get this. The times I've had lunches with husbands and guys and them feeling like, you know what, I just can't measure up. Everyone else I see, they seem to get it perfect. Like they're the best perfect husband. They're the best perfect dad. They know exactly what they're doing. Let me just tell you, that is a lie from the enemy. Because the Bible tells us that we have all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glory. You initiate and you keep initiating. You keep going to people. You keep going back. You keep growing. You keep gleaning wisdom. You don't just stay down. You get back up again. You initiate. James 1:5, I read it earlier, but if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. The second thing a learner does is they implement. They implement. So you initiate, you learn something, you hear something, but then you put it into practice. You implement. And this is where the real cycle continues for growth, where it's initiating and implementing. And it's over and over and over again in every season of life. You might know a lot, but you don't know everything. You don't know everything about everything. There's some things where you could probably get pretty close to saying, I know just about everything within this field. I'm telling you, not in every area of life. So we initiate, we implement. James 1:22, it says this, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Imagine if we were a church, if we were a community of learners, not know-it-alls, not just opinion holders, but people who walk humbly and grow constantly. Think about it like this. How much stronger would our relationships be? How much clearer would our decisions become? How much more like Jesus would we look? The prayer today is that we wouldn't be people who just go through life, but we would be people who grow through it. We would be people who say, you know what? There's still more. There's still more that God wants to do in my life. And we would see that as opportunity, not something that's defeating or deflating or saying, oh, there's more. I need to grow. No, God still wants to do something in my life. And God still wants to use me and other people around me to help develop, whether it be someone else or develop me. Would you stand to your feet today? And we're going to close out in worship as we have been doing for a number of weeks. And here's what I would encourage you with. One of two actions, just what we ended with. Maybe for some of you, it's initiation. It's initiating. Here's what I know, and I mean this, through conversations that I have with so many of you, it looks like this. God, I need your help. I need your wisdom. This financial situation that I'm in, I need your wisdom. This business decision, I need your wisdom. This family relationship, I need your wisdom. As we lift up the name of Jesus, I would encourage you, just begin to ask God. God, give me wisdom. Speak to me. I'm open to hearing what it is that you want to say. Maybe for so long you admit, I've been trying to do this on my own. I want to be the person who says, I figured it out. I was able to solve the problem. But maybe today it starts by initiating with God. God, I need you. I need your wisdom. For others of you, maybe it's implementing. It's you've already initiated. You've said, God, I need your wisdom. But maybe what the implementation looks like is, all right, it's time to walk by faith. I may not see exactly what's going on, but it's time for me to surrender my way and say, God, I know I'm asking for your wisdom, but God, do what you want in my life in this season. God, I'm going to walk according to your truths, according to what you want to say to me, according to how you want to use others to speak into me. And I'm going to live by faith. It's not always easy, but God, I'm going to implement this. I know what you're teaching me. I know what you're showing me. And I'm going to just say, God, I surrender this to you. Father, we thank you. We love you for your words. Practically, biblically speaking, knowledge, getting your word imparted into our hearts, knowing it, wisdom, living it out. In applying what your word says to us. May we do that right now. May we live with a wise heart, surrendered to you, saying, God, speak to us, show us, teach us, and may we live according to your truths always and every day. We love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.